The gospel reading for this evening is from Luke chapter 1, verses 26 to 38. In the sixth month, God sent the angel Gabriel to Nazareth, a town in Galilee, to a virgin pledged to be married to a man named Joseph, a descendant of David. The virgin's name was Mary. The angel went to her and said, "Greetings, you who are highly favored. The Lord is with you." Mary was greatly troubled at his words and wondered what kind of greeting this might be. But the angel said to her, "Do not be afraid, Mary. You have found favor with God. You will be with child and give birth to a son, and you are to give him the name Jesus. He will be great and will be called the Son of the Most High. The Lord God will give him the throne of his father David, and he will reign over the house of Jacob forever. His kingdom will never end." "How will this be?" Mary asked the angel, "since I am a virgin." The angel answered, "The Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. So the Holy One to be born will be called the Son of God. Even Elizabeth, your relative, is going to have a child in her old age. And she who was said to be barren is in her sixth month. For nothing is impossible with God." "I am the Lord's servant," Mary answered. "May it be to me as you have said it." Then the angel left her. This is the gospel of the Lord.
Grace, mercy, and peace to you from our Lord and Savior, Christ Jesus.
Amen.
We're going to be following an Advent series and dealing with fear. And tonight we talk about Mary and the beginnings of the story, how she experienced fear. An angel came to her. And then next week we'll talk about Joseph, because Joseph also had to deal with some fear as an angel came to him. And then we have the shepherds who experienced some fear as a multitude of heavenly hosts showed up in their lot. And following that, there was another little case of fear that took place, and it's not where somebody ever came and said, "Don't be afraid," because there was a reason to be afraid here, and that was for Herod. We'll talk about that on Christmas Eve. And then when we get to Christmas Day, we're going to rejoice because we're not going to have any more fear. So we'll be fearless, I guess, is the best way to look at that right now. Looking forward to that opportunity. So tonight, with the Archangel Gabriel appearing to a teenage girl, Mary, is where we begin. But before that, that's going to be the story that she has to deal with. What about our story? Has there been a time when you felt that God was leading you to something, telling you you needed to be a part of something, doing something,
actively rolling with some task of God that you just didn't really feel comfortable doing? Maybe you were afraid, absolutely afraid. "I'm afraid to talk to a neighbor. I'm afraid to share with somebody that I see that they're crying and they might need some consolation, but I don't know them. We're in a public place. Do I go over to them?" Exactly. On cue, I love it. Do you reach out in all those places where you know the Lord is wanting you to reach out? I mean, there are those struggles that we face, and I know that I should say something here, but I don't say something. I can't tell you how many times I have been asked on a ski lift what I did for a living. And I avoided getting to the answer, "I'm a pastor." Not out of fear of being recognized as a pastor, but fear because I had a conversation going and I knew I was about to cut everything off. Because once I said that, I was going to be viewed as somebody not normal, that you couldn't let out a few of those words that you've already slipped on. And our conversation was going to turn. And in some cases, it needed to turn. And that was good. And in some cases, I said something along the lines, "Well, I'm a spiritual attitude adjuster." And then explaining that was even more fun, actually, than coming up with something like that. But let's see, what does that mean? I don't know. That's a good Lutheran question. Oh, wait a minute. Giving myself away as I go here. Yeah, but God calls us into things and He asks us to do things and we're not so sure we want to do it. We kind of treat God like that arm distance friend we have, or that person we know that we really don't want to be caught by him, because we know if we do, go over to them, or if they catch us, they're going to ask us to do something. They always ask us to do something. And we just want to instead just kind of whistle, look the other way, and pretend that maybe God's not talking to me. He'll catch somebody else. There's a fear of what God might ask us, because there's a fear of thinking that, you know, he might want me to change something about my life. And my life's pretty comfortable right now, and I'd rather not have anything interfere with the way things are. Or it might be something that will cost me more than I feel I can afford, like more time than I really want to give, or more money than I feel I have to spare. What if you're a 14-ish year old girl and an angel of God appears and comes to her with this news that really he's about to lay the weight of the world upon her, because that's the weight that Jesus carried and she was going to carry him. The Son of God who is going to come to save his people. Now, I don't know how much the angel shared with her about what was to come, other than you're going to bear the Son of God. I'm thinking really that was plenty. You know, at that point we're done. There's nothing else to really say, because the questions are too numerous, and you know, I don't have enough lifespan left to be able to get all that out that needs to go with what does this mean. But a 14-ish year old girl that hears this news that she's going to carry the Son of God. And I'm thinking she's got one of those great Holy Cross responses at first. Yay, God! But then she goes, oh, wait, somebody has to tell Joseph. Maybe not. The story's not getting any better for Mary here at this point. You're going to bear a son that is going to, well, we know the rest of the story, suffer and die for all people for all time. And you're going to have to go see Joseph. And you're going to have to be in front of all the people that know you. And you're going to start showing a little bit early. And it's not going to go well. But then life was simpler then, right? So it shouldn't have been as much to have to deal with the change and everything that was going on for her. Because they don't have near the things in the past. They didn't have anything like we have to deal with really now as far as our worries and our wonders. So for her to have to deal with a issue, I mean, it's not like we face, right? I mean, yeah, I'm driving down and all the stuff that I can handle, I'm thinking about everything, and all of a sudden I see the policeman on the side road, and as I watch him and I go by, I see the lights come on and the rearview mirror, or maybe he just pulls out and I get really paranoid that he's about to turn on the lights in the rearview mirror. And then I've got a loved one that falls and hurts himself and I'm having to call 911. And then I got a call from the teacher that tells me I'm going to have to make an appointment with her to talk about our child. They don't do that at college anymore. Then I'm getting ready to go out the door, and I hear a crash of something breaking in the other room, and I have this continued fear in my life of what next, and that's what we experience. We get to that point where we struggle with the what next. We have dealt with so much, and we go, what's going to happen next? We can't cope with the pain and the fear of what's going on right now. And we're afraid. We're afraid. We have that catechism instruction that reminds us over and over again as we go through the Ten Commandments. We should fear and love God. We should fear and love God. We should fear. It's the easiest thing to memorize the what does this means of the commandments, because they all start off the same way. Don't worry about that part. Go on to the rest, right? We should fear and love God. And that's one of the first things we have to always talk about. How do we fear but not be afraid? And and that fear and that awesome respect of who God is and what God has done is something we should all have. Recognizing what God has done for us, what God has done for us individually, what God has done for us corporately, what God has done for the world, God did through His Son, huge as it can be. But then we can even come into just our daily ins and outs and the things that God has done for us and continues to do for us and the way He delivers us and sees us through this and that. And how can you be afraid of a God that is so loving and so good and so merciful? And that's just it. That you don't. You're not afraid of a God like that. There are some gods you should be afraid of. In some of the countries I've been in, there are some gods that are seriously fear-invoking gods. All of the Buddhist and Hindu gods are fear-invoking gods. Every single one of them. That's their goal, is to cause you problems and pain in life. You pray to them so that they will not cause you as many problems and as much pain in life. But they're going to do it because the gods are vengeful, mean gods. It seems like it should be so easy to convert them to Christianity. And yet it's not. Because we have the God that's loving, and the God that's merciful, and the God that is desiring to take the pain and the suffering themselves. The Father lays it on His own Son and says, you don't have to deal with it. Because of that sacrifice, you're not going to face that eternal death that you would otherwise be in fear of. But Jesus came for us and removes it from us. And you know what? There is so much more stuff going on today, but I'm thinking for each of these folks in this story, as much as we deal with it, it's nothing compared to what they dealt with. You're going to bear the Son of God? You got to be kidding me. Yeah, I kind of picture it like the old, actually, Bill Cosby routine where he said, am I on candid camera? So you got to be a certain generation for that one. Somebody's joking. Somebody's got a script going here. There's a camera somewhere, isn't there? I'm going to bear the Son of God? No way. And Joseph, we'll deal with him next week, but cannot even begin to think what was going on in his head at that point. But we're going to work on it. Maybe it'd be a good thing. Maybe that would be something good. Maybe if the angel of the Lord would come to each of us right now and tell us, don't be afraid. I'm thinking, okay, from history I'm saying this is going to be big. I'm not so sure I'm ready for this, but what, can you imagine though, that's the way it starts? And even for Mary, with what she's about to face, to have an angel of God personally come to her and say, don't be afraid. And it's not like this bold, fear not. Yeah, you get all these angels hovering. I even put one of those on the little poster that we did. You know, there's an angel hovering over a fearful Mary, you know. And you picture that. No. This is a messenger of God bringing God's good news, the best news ever, and the comfort He must have brought to her. Mary, you got an awesome task ahead of you. God loves you so much. God is going to use you to bear His Son. To have the godly assurance come to us individually and say, you don't have to be afraid because I'm with you. And the plans that I have for you, if you will listen to me, if you will follow me, this is going to be awesome. And then I get to thinking that's actually what God does with each of us. He comes to every one of us and He says, He's there for us. Begins with the waters of baptism. He says, I'm here for you. And I'm going to be with you every day of your life. And if you will listen to me and if you'll follow me, let me tell you, I have got such great plans for you in your life. If God didn't have great plans for you in your life, there wouldn't be a need for you to be here right now. But you are. And God has set you apart just like He did with all of His prophets and all of His ministers and all of His children throughout all of time. God has set you apart and called you His child. And maybe He hasn't told you exactly what the tasks are that He's got for you to complete throughout this life. But we get hints along the way that we're following Him the right way. And affirmations that we're listening faithfully. Because He continues to pour those blessings upon us and use us as a blessing to others. And when God calls, it's a good thing. Think of Mary. You know, God's word comes and says, I've got some awesome news for you. And with that comes that comforting word of God that He's going to be with you. No matter what He lays out for you, He is going to be with you in it. You look for the perfect life and you think that the biggest issue we face, we think that we're the ones that can actually make it happen. And that's where the problems come in. We look for that perfect life and we're the ones that are either in or truly in a sense also out of control in making it happen. We want the perfect healthy family. We want the ideal job. We want to perform better than others. And then things like sickness strike, or the company talks about setbacks, or with those cutbacks, we also find you're driving home, you're out of gas, and you see, today is the day it dropped 20 cents a gallon. Should have filled up yesterday. And if you do keep your job, you find out that the wrong person gets promoted as your boss. Now what? It's not going to be any fun there for sure. And we deal with all this worldly stuff, and maybe instead of continuing to go away from what God says is right and good for us, maybe we should start listening to Him more faithfully, being in His Word and hearing what He has to say to us and how He is guiding and directing our daily lives and continues to say that He will be with us in whatever comes. There's nothing to fear when God asks. There's no reason to be afraid. The real fear is trying to handle this life without God and recognizing that if He comes to us and has a use for us, we're saying no. Now we've got a reason to be afraid because we've gone on our own. But if we're going to be in that fear of God, not afraid of Him, but that fear of God, we're going to be following Him. We're going to do the things He wants us to do and recognize that we're going to have an awesome life with this God. It may not be all the things that we, from a worldly sense, desire, want, or expect. Matter of fact, I can guarantee you it won't be. Because the sin in ourselves and the sin in the world will keep us from ever perfectly seeing the beauty of following God faithfully. Because we're sinful people. But we can continue to ask for forgiveness and continue to come back to Him and continue to be lifted back up by this loving God and know that the only thing we have to be afraid of is a world without God. For Mary, what happened next? It would be great if we had just gotten, like the books, like what to expect when you're expecting. Maybe we could put what to expect when you're expecting to bear the Son of God. She would love to have had the book. Ain't never been a book like that before, and there won't ever be another book. If there was one after that, it's done, one and done. For us, what What's it going to be like when we listen to God? When we pay attention to what He's telling us? We look around and we see where He's leading us. Will you be afraid? If you are, then you're going the wrong way. But if there's that fear of God, you can also take comfort in God. He'll be with you through all the birthing pains, throughout all the days of raising that child, throughout the days of watching the grandchildren, throughout the days of work, throughout the days of school, throughout all your days, throughout every day of your life. God is with you. That's His name, Emmanuel, God with us. And he holds Himself to that. May the fear of God continue to be within your hearts and your minds each and every day of your life. In the name of Christ we pray. Amen.